You can run, but you can't hide. The Chuck Ocelli Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
If you want fear porn, you're going to have to go elsewhere. It's just that simple. Anyway, let's break the matrix. Frontline truckers. I was confusing it for a second because it's the American Truckers Freedom Fund we're going to discuss today in the first hour. And, well, you know, it is what it is. I know everybody has talked about the situation in Canada, what happened, the different protests that seem to be emerging elsewhere, and exactly what they did to stomp them down in some places already. Get ahead of the story. Today we have Kip Contrin, I hope I'm pronouncing that name right, from Frontline Truckers with us, and he's going to tell us all about what's happening. Kip, how you doing today?
Yeah, good, brother. How are y'all today? The name is Kip Contrin, with Frontline Truckers.
Sorry.
Yes, sir. It's all good. It's a hard name to pronounce, but America Truckers Freedom Convoy, that's who we are. And yeah, there's a lot going on around the country right now with people getting involved, and it's really amazing to watch people stand up and become active with this. And something I would like to add, and it's not a correction, but some people see this as a protest. I don't see it as a protest. I see it as America coming together to address grievances and straighten up the mess that's been made by corrupt politicians in Washington. Very much, very different.
No, absolutely true, sir. And that's why I have you here today, because we need to clarify what this is before the narrative gets out of control. And of course, the corporate media decides to tell us what it is you fellas are doing and what it is you're welcoming other people to join you to do. And I think that's very important. So by all means, correct me, inform me, let's get at it. I mean, tell me, what is the, well, first let's get to know you just a little bit, okay? Why is it that you became interested in this personally, and how is it that you became involved directly with Frontline Truckers?
Well, first and foremost, I don't recall any veteran ever having fought or died for this country so that it could turn into what it is and be basically stolen and running away with by corrupt politics. No one ever signed up for that. No one ever fought for that. And if you listen to our veterans today, they will plainly say, I don't remember fighting for this. So, as out of respect to the veterans, my involvement by and large is because I refuse to sit as an American and look at the problem and address the problem, but then not go be part of fixing the problem, because I find it inherently wrong for any person to live in this country and not honor the sacrifices made by our veterans. From a personal note, for 14 years, I've been watching the atrocities in Washington. I've watched the fumbles. Let me say it that way. Also, I was very quick to note that you can't put 150 gallons of water in a 100 gallon container. So I'm still trying to figure out, and we really had nothing to react, a reason to react at what happened when the administration in 2008 won by a landslide of 113% of a vote in a precinct. You can't do it. You got 100% or you got no percent, but 113 doesn't exist. So I think now we're starting to look back through wisdom and more years of watching and realizing, well, apparently that's when the stolen election stuff started. I look at 14 years and what our country went from to where it's at now, and it's shameful. And as an American, I refuse to sit by and allow this any longer. I refuse to sit idly by and be quiet. You mentioned the Canadians earlier, and certainly the Canadians inspired the whole world. And I think what they did in doing what they did was they created an environment where people were paying attention. And so for those willing to step forward and say, you know what, now it's time to move, it's been good, because you have so much support. You have everybody looking in the same direction, which is really hard to do. And so with that, with effective leadership, with a plan, with a goal, go to Washington. And a lot of it was based on the COVID vaccine mandates and the passports and all that stuff. Some of that we have in the United States, some we don't. But I looked at this thing and I said, I'm not going to Washington to gripe about the vaccine mandates, because that's merely the straw that broke the camel's back. What I want to do is go up there and talk about the past 14 years. I want to find out, and we're going to address, why'd you pen swipe the Keystone into non-existence? Why do we have the highest inflation we've ever had in 40, 50 years? Why is it that a single mom is struggling to hang on and can't because her money is useless. Why is it that our farmers and ranchers are being put out of business? Why did you pull back the farm bill? Those are just, you know, some of the things we intend to speak on, but we have a very firm directive of how we're moving and our intentions to redress those grievances. When we get there with predetermined meetings that are already in place, we're going to go sit down across the table. I don't believe we're going to show up, and I've said this many times, it's not like we're going to show up in Washington and blast our train horns and all of a sudden the corrupt elitists are going to sit back and go, oh my, the spooky truckers are here with their horns. We better straighten up. That ain't going to happen. But what will happen is with effective leadership and going with a plan, we're going to sit down and begin the process of hopefully righting this wrong that's been so terribly placed upon every American in these United States.
Absolutely, sir. Look, I completely agree with every single thing you just said. I want to offer my point of view, though, here really quickly. And that is that I feel as though it's not just the past 14 years, sir. And I'll tell you why. My father was a veteran, felt quite betrayed by this country and all of that. And we have seen incrementally over the course of my entire lifetime, at least that's what I've been able to witness, effectively the loss of our country as it was told to me it was. We have seen that since the 1970s in my mind, because that's how long I've been alive. And I'll say that, you know, my father who died in 1976, you know, I know where his mind was at. I could not serve. I would have, but physically I am not able. And the truth is, I think we do need to respect the blood and the sacrifice of not just the men who have, you know, so recently gone into Afghanistan and, you know, and of course, Iraq and these other places. I don't even want to get into the politics of it, but to respect the sacrifice of those men who came before them, all of them, we have an obligation to recognize that those people gave their lives for not what it is we live in currently at all. So, you know, I would say that the past 14 years might have gotten us to the point where the camel's back got broken. But I feel as though during my whole life, we have done nothing but lose our position as the people who are supposed to be at the top of the power structure. That is the way this country is supposed to be. Not the federal government, not the state government. The people are supposed to be in charge. And look, by all means necessary that are peaceful, for certain at first. I am absolutely with you. I think that redressing all these grievances, which again might have ended with COVID but did not begin there, is essential. You got any arguments with what I'm saying to you?
None whatsoever. When I say 14 years, I think that just gives everybody, and I've said this several times, in order to understand what you and I understand, you must be a minimum of age of say 31 years old. And because at 14 or at 17, you would have really been had to paying attention to having been paid attention to politics. Most kids, 17, 18, 19, on up to 25, they're not. And so for me, until 14 years ago, I hated politics. I didn't want to hear about it. I didn't get involved. Sure, I voted. But beyond that, I did not get involved. And what I began to realize is that with the things that were happening that were affecting my pocketbook, my life, that of my employees, all the hard work that I had done for so many years to quote unquote achieve the American dream and then now get to realize it and live it out, it was all taken in a night. It was all taken in a night with a what appears more than obvious to me, a stolen election. You can't go to sleep with 78% one, 22% the other. And then again, we had nothing to bounce it off of, an example. But when you look at what happened 14 years ago in that election, versus what happened in this recent election, and the same thing at 2 a.m, the same Dominion voting machines all suddenly just spiked and the underdog won by a landslide. It's an impossibility. So when I say 14 years, I fully agree with what you said. I can only say that for the past 14 years for me, that I've been paying attention and being involved. It's time that Americans stand up. This is everybody's fight. There's no human being that lives inside the United States of America that this doesn't affect. And I would take that so far to be very firm in that statement, because it even affects the homeless people. And I'll tell you why. The homeless people, they're people too, and they deserve a second chance. They deserve someone to give them an opportunity and rebuild them. Some of these people are broken, but if they're dependent on the soup kitchen, and now the soup kitchen that feeds them once a day or gives them medicine once a week or whatever that may be and helps them, how is that soup kitchen going to stay around with all the stuff that's going on? I mean, even they can't stay alive in this climate. You know, you watch a $100 bill, that's like using a quarter back in the 1970s. It just poof, it's gone. And it's sad to see where we stand now. There's no excuse for it.
Absolutely, sir. True. And I'll tell you again, going back to the 1970s, I mean, a bit of perspective, right? We lived through a time which I feel like we're about to enter again. And it is due to the mismanagement of nearly everything. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Nearly everything has been mismanaged. And this isn't about a blue or a red or, you know, I don't care which side you want to stand on. Let's do that. Let's argue. Let's engage in debates, certainly. But the fact that the people have been removed from the equation, it seems like, because unless you got the money to buy the result in the current system, and that gets more expensive every day, okay, then you don't get to partake in your justice for all. You don't get to partake in equal opportunity, do you?
Let's speak to that. And you just made a real good example of what, in my opinion, happens day in and day out. It's just politics as normal. Your producers are out producing. They're at the front. They're the bosses. They're the leaders. They're the ones making things happen with a corporate structure. They might be just small business or whatever. And even that little guy that's out making a living, cutting lawns and doing landscaping, he's just as important. But the difference is between that guy and an elitist in Washington is that he knows how to rub two nickels together and give you a quarter. He knows how to make it when nobody else can. And then you have these people, these post turtles. You know, you're going down a road, old country road, and there's a turtle up on a post. Well, how did he get there? Well, he doesn't know anything. He's not capable of anything, but somebody put him down up there. And so you end up with these post turtles in Washington that have never run a business, don't know anything about private sector work. They've never worked in oil and gas. They've never been a truck driver. They've never welded. They've never done any of this stuff. They've spent their whole life, in my personal opinion, clean hands are a sign of dirty money. I just don't trust those types. And so when they get there, they're making shot calls for those of us that know how to get things done, and they're doing it from a place of oblivion where they have no experience. Experience and knowledge, my friend, will take you further than any college degree, than any amount of good luck. And these people show up there, and you said it best just now, unless you got to pay to play in this arena as it's been allowed to be for so long now. And these people show up, and all of a sudden they're making laws that don't do anything but hurt us. And then as well, they're making policy based on unicorn dreams and fairy dust. It doesn't even relate to the real world. And it's sad. I'm going to say it like this, and to make explanation of what I'm trying to say, if you took some small business owners, if you took 15 small business owners that have been successful, maybe with the machine shop, maybe with the welding business, and I'm just mentioning those trades because there are people I can think of automatically that would equate to what I'm offering. If you put them in Washington for 6 months, they could affect some serious change. If you took the leadership team of Walmart, for Christ's sake, and said, here, let them handle our finances, you would see sweeping change in this nation where there would be no national debt. There would be no stupid stuff going on. And I just wonder, why haven't we? You know, this is not Democrat or Republican, but let's just look at some numbers here. When Trump was in there, the sweeping change that took place, the all-time highs in the stock market, those were plans and ideas that people could get behind. Oh, well, he mean tweeted. So what? He could have been the biggest jerk ever. And in many ways, he was perhaps at times, but he knew how to do things. He knew how to get things going. We had an all-time low unemployment rate, even into the Black community, which I don't care about Black and white. But sadly, the Black people are often taken for a ride by democratic process. And they were finally in a position where they had someone that had their back that didn't see Black and white and made a way through effective leadership of this country where everybody had an opportunity. And then these people come along and literally overnight, we shut down a pipeline. We start making these draconian practices and something to be said to that. How, and this is just it's a loaded question you'll pick up on quickly, but how did COVID show up January, February, March of 2020, it was a big deal, but they had done the CARES Act early on in 2019 and had already predetermined funding to help this thing along because they knew it was coming. How does that work? I mean, does that not sound like a preconceived notion? If all of a sudden this pandemic jumped up on us and nobody knew it was coming, then why in the hell is there such a paper trail on this thing? And people like Fauci stepping up and saying, well, yes, we're more than certain that the president will face a pandemic. You know, what I've seen in this, the response of our government, the way they handled this, is that they attacked the American people. If this was originated from China, why didn't we shut down all trade with that country and your embassy, shut down everything to do with you, get the hell out of our country and protect our own? But we don't. And the people in Washington continually, their MO, their method of operation is to oppress the American people and always side with our enemy, and they're destroying us from within. It's sad. It's sad.
No, definitely sad. And to me, I always feel as though both sides of the equation are responsible here, because here's the thing, that we've seen them switch back and forth, who's in power, who's got the majority, so on and so forth. And problems have persisted now for decades. So yeah. Nobody is really interested in solving a lot of the things that are ailing us.
There's no money in fixing the problem.
And I got to say, that's the key here. But let's get back to this particular operation that we're looking at here, because I am so interested to see what's going to happen when people have to stand up and pay attention. And this is really great. I mean, can you explain this to me, how this is going to run? I mean, give us an idea how we can follow this, get involved, because seems to me as though it's not just going to be truckers making this journey. So please, can you talk about that a bit?
Certainly. We've advised since day one that if a family wanted to get involved with the convoy, if they want to make the whole ride from wherever their origin location is, come on. The only thing we ask is get in behind the trucks. No small cars, no motorcycles, nothing like that in front of the big trucks. Everybody follows the trucks. It's not a matter of who looks cool. It's a matter of safety. Our convoy will start tomorrow night at 7 p.m. in Fresno, California, March 2nd. They'll run through the night of March 2nd and make their way to Quartz Site, Arizona. They'll land there at about 3 or 4 in the morning, take a 3 to 4 hour break. And from Quartz Site, Arizona, on the morning of the 3rd, they'll leave and be making their way to Fort Stockton on the day of the 3rd. They'll land in Fort Stockton, Texas on the day of the 3rd, stay overnight there. And on the morning of the 4th, they'll wake up, leave Fort Stockton at 7 and head towards Sulphur, Louisiana, and they'll land in Sulphur, Louisiana the night of the 4th. On the morning of the 5th, we'll wake up from Sulphur, Louisiana and make our way out to a stretch between Brunswick, Georgia and Savannah, Georgia. We're leaving that area open because we expect this convoy to build as we come across. So we're kind of leaving that area open. Of course, we'll wake up there the morning of the 6th after landing the night of the 5th. And on the day of the 6th, we'll go to a predetermined staging location just south of Washington, D.C. We'll get there late that night on the 6th. And then the morning of the 7th, we're going into meetings the 7th and 8th and 9th, I believe, the 9th for sure, or the 7th and 8th for sure. And I believe we have some other stuff on the 9th. But again, I can't stress enough, we're not going to blow horns. We're going to affect change. We're going with a plan. We're going very well thought out politically, very well, politically motivated, in a sense of we're not going to talk and just hear a bunch of gas. We're going to go with a plan and say, these are the things we want addressed. And a lot of that's constitutional. Obviously the First Amendment right to free speech gives us the right to go redress our grievances. And we've thought about it so far that there are other constitutional amendments that can be exercised to position our government to where they have to move. And I'm not going to get deep off into that because it's pretty extensive, and I'm not going to say tricky. The law is the law. And if you understand the law and you use the law in its full capacity and say, no, you're being checked right here, you will so move now in accordance with these laws. And that's what we're going to do. Once we get there, obviously there's a whole lot that will take place. And sadly enough, I can't explain everything that's going to take place, because sometimes these things have to happen so you know what's going to take place. Does that make sense?
Well, I get it. I mean, you're going to have to make this up as you go along, because this has never been done before exactly like this. And for the record, you're going to come close to me when you get in that area near Savannah or whatever, because I'm in Macon, Georgia myself. And, you know, I would very much like to come up and at least, take a look. I don't know if I can make the trip with you, you know, family concerns and things like that. But, I certainly want to keep track of this as you go. I have a concern though, sir. And I'll tell you, I'm looking at the reports of them preparing in Washington, D.C. For your arrival. And, you know, look, at no point in time do I want to see anyone's blood shed unnecessarily. And I worry that there could be confrontational elements from the government that might not appreciate your presence and your desire to actually engage with those that we are supposed to engage with, by the way, according to this system, like you said, according to the laws, according to the way it is set up, brothers and sisters, we are supposed to be able to do exactly what this convoy is doing at all times. That's the thing. So I'm a little concerned about the, you know, the reports about what's being prepared. Obviously the government is not going to report everything that they have prepared, you know, in anticipation of your arrival. I'm wondering how you feel about that. And if you have anything to say about that particular issue, what you might be confronted with when you arrive in DC.
There's lots of concerns regarding that. And certainly those things have been at the top of the priority list with our leadership team for, I don't know, 3.5-4 weeks now. It's very important to understand that we're not going in there half-cocked. We're not going in there just excitable and, oh, man, look at all these trucks and have some plan that we're going to pull right up in the front of the White House. That is not going to happen with us. I don't expect it to happen with anyone, but certainly not us. And here's why. We're staging outside of the area. And when we go in for our meetings, we won't even be in our 18-wheelers. We're going to be in private vehicles. And at the request of Congress, there's a lot of concern in that area. There was a lot of talk, I'll go block up the 495. Well, I've advocated from day one, we're not into blocking roads. That's not why we're here. You and I may share different political ideas, and that does not give me or anyone involved with us the right to then impose ourselves upon you and mess up your day or make it hard for you to travel. And so there have been some people along the way that said that. And I think by and large, all the convoys coming together, we all agree that's not the way to go. So with that said, there's a very, very open line of communications with the Washington, D.C. Metro Police. I speak with them daily, and there are things along the way that have happened, and they have concerns, and we hurry up and get the message out and squelch those things or bend and move to their advisement. So when we get there, what we expect is by proper planning and a whole lot of communication, those things will be thwarted. Now, what you were offering, I could very well see if people don't handle themselves appropriately. And so for those that don't, what they can expect, if they make the mistake of going inside Washington, D.C. and going up toward the monument or the mall, let's call it, they can expect immediately that they will be arrested. This based on a phone call I had just hours ago. They will be arrested. It won't just be an arrest, a simple arrest. It will be criminal charges filed against them. Their vehicle will be impounded. They will lose their CDL. If children are in the vehicle with them, those children will immediately become wards of the state. They will be pulled into Child Protective Services. Sadly enough, if a person chooses that route and doesn't want to listen to conventional wisdom or good advisement and has a dog in the vehicle, a cat, whatever animal they may have, they can expect that animal to be impounded, and within 8 days, that animal will be euthanized. Washington, D.C., whoever is not going to hold it, 8 days, done. The problem is what people aren't realizing is they think they're going to go up there and act a fool, and all they're going to do is hurt themselves, because you look at this. Just to get an attorney for something like that, my guess would be you're looking at 30, 40 grand just to start. Just to get an attorney to even see if bail is a possibility. Then on top of that, the next thing is that you're not dealing in a state realm. You're dealing in a federal realm. And let's take it a little bit further. And I'm answering your question best I can, but there's so many facets of it that I probably need 45 minutes to explain. So I'm just trying to high point. On February 2nd at 2:07 p.m., the Homeland Security outfit over there decided that they would label every person that just wanted to be heard and exercise their right to free speech under the Constitution. They went ahead and labeled them as domestic terrorists and insurrectionists. Okay. In my opinion, that move was strategic because what it then does them, it allows them to operate under a different pretense of law. Example, the Patriot Act. It allows them to circumvent standard arrest procedure, seizure procedures, actually being able to hold someone. So it's a hard question to answer, but as far as bloodshed, I don't see it. I will touch on that. There are those antagonistic groups that are often revered in those Democrat strongholds that can go in and loot, pillage, burn, rape, shoot, kill, flip cop cars, turn them over, burn them. And oh, they're just peaceful people. But good, hardworking people of America going in there are being perceived and labeled differently from the get-go. So there is concern that when we get there, some of those types would certainly try to infiltrate or cause problems. And there has been much advisement to our people. Go get law enforcement. Have them present. Bring them in. Obviously, and I'll make very plain for my own self, if I'm in a situation where I see someone attacking the cops, well, then I'm going to help them. I'm going to back the blue. And to what degree, I don't know. I don't want to see that. Don't want to be involved with it. But I refuse as an American to sit back and watch this 14-year directive of hating against our law enforcement and military. That don't fly with me. So it's a hard question to answer. And there's so many ways it could be answered or more questions asked about it. But hopefully that gives some kind of clarification. But on a whole, for our convoy and the other convoys that are affiliated with us, we have a very strict set of conduct. We have a very staunch way in which we will handle ourselves very professionally, very quietly, yet very firmly in accordance with the law. And that is our intention.
Right. I see what the intention is. I just worry about the execution, honestly, because as you well know, when there are a group of people together, regardless of their intent, regardless of what it is they choose to do, sometimes things go sideways, and we could have all sorts of discussions about that, but I don't have enough time with you to go into the nuances, you know, one way or another. And it doesn't matter what the politics are here. I'm just saying a large group of people is difficult to manage and keep focused one way or another. I'm looking forward to this though, because this is an honest attempt to at least redress the grievances. I mean, I hate to keep going to that phrase, but this is what we have.
It's what it is. It's not a protest. It's a patriotic American movement to go redress the grievances. That can't be said any more plain than that. Look, enough is enough. It's time people come together as Americans, not Democrat, not Republican, not black or white, Chinese or Hispanic or any other ethnicity. You're an American. Act like it. Align with those who are willing to take this and go make a move on it. The conversation has to be started somewhere, somehow. And again, I don't expect we're going to go up there and then they just fix all the atrocities. As I state for the past 14 years, it's not going to happen. But what it will do is get the discussion started. Because when we come back, and I plan to be boots on the ground 3 or 4 days up there, and then I got to come back. I got plenty of responsibilities here. I've already lost a month preparing for this thing. And I'll be 6 weeks without work to get this mission accomplished. But when we come back, what I fully expect is it doesn't stop there. Now the associations made, the conversations had, they'll have to be followed up on. They'll have to be continued. There will be much work to meet the goal. How long will it take? I don't know. But I know this, we have to do it. This is our, in my opinion, as bad off as this thing has gotten, as corrupt as things have become, not being able to win an election with the voice of the people, it requires money and some Dominion voting machines of the corrupt. I get that. How much worse does it have to get before people decide that they need to stand up? And that's kind of the message. I've said all along, this is everybody's fight. If you can't make it all the way to Washington, D.C., well, then you better be calling your legislators right on down to your county commissioner and your police jurymen. In Louisiana, we have parishes, and so they're called police jurymen. You need to be calling every level of political uplink that you have and let them know we support this, because then they if they're fulfilling their oath of office, they have to move in accordance with what the people request. They work for us. We don't work for them. And I think that needs to be straightened out. I think people need to get involved. And I believe firmly that if we make this move, handle our stuff appropriately, respectfully, legally, and in a manner befitting good conduct, you're going to see change. You've said the word narrative several times in this interview, and I'm going to touch on that real quick. I've advised this as well. There is virtually no news agency that I trust. When you start doing the research and find all the collusive ties that come back to the globalist elites, you can't trust them. It's nothing more than propaganda machines. That's all they are. But if people throughout this endeavor, video and photograph, then in my opinion, you change that narrative, because all the lies that they're going to spew out, they do one segment, 15 minutes, saying, oh, these truckers are terrible people. But then you have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people involved posting things to the contrary on TikTok, Facebook, Telegram, whatever. I don't know. There's so many different social media platforms that I don't really use, but that stuff gets out there. And then in my opinion, what you do is you refute the false narrative with the truth, and there's no better thing. And so in that, I agree the narrative is important, but the truth is always going to speak for itself, and the truth is what's going to set you free. And so in that, if people handle themselves appropriately, document, it can't not get out there.
Absolutely true, sir. Listen, I know we only have a few more minutes with you, so I want to stop here. There's 100 questions I could ask you. But I need to let you tell everybody how they can get involved, whether they're trying to make it with the convoy or not, where they can go. I've already mentioned AmericanTruckersFreedomFund.com. That's all one word, and then .com. AmericanTruckersFreedomFund.com. That's a starting point, but I leave it to you to tell them how they can get involved. And I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today and give us the truth about what's actually happening here, to get ahead of what I can already predict is going to come from, well, like you said, all those people that we know we cannot trust. Yep. Let's go to the source. And in this case, my friend, you are the source for this, for me anyway. So please tell people what they can do and how they can be a part of this in one way or another. And follow what's happening from the source.
Well, certainly, as you just mentioned, AmericanTruckersFreedomFund.com. Again, AmericanTruckersFreedomFund.com. That's where people could go straight into the website. It is a secure website. If they choose to donate for the cost of fuel and that to get a trucker out there and come back, certainly they can do it. That's a good place to do it. As well, on that page, there is a testimonial section. And that's important to know. Any testimonial that gets sent to that page, it quote unquote hits my desk. Obviously, I'll be speaking once we get to Washington. And so in that, having your story documented to where I can understand, how has this thing affected you? What are your thoughts? That's tremendous, because as I go through those things and get them in my head, when it's time to speak, I may not tell their whole story, but I'm going to do a bunch of stories as testimony unto Congress and whatever hearings we go into, and just be speaking on their behalf. Certainly the next way they can get involved, join the convoy. You know, if you want to, we're passing through, and I'll give an example. We're going to be on I-10, but let's say a person lived in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and they say, I can't make it to Washington, but you know what? This is a part of history. I'm going to do my part and show support. I have a motorcycle. I have a classic car, or I have an 18-wheeler, and they can't make the whole thing. You get in, you get in your prospective place. If you're in an 18-wheeler, stay with the 18-wheelers. If you're a car or motorcycle, stay behind the 18-wheelers. And go as long as you want to. Go as far as you want to. Share the message. If you decide you want to go all the way to Washington, D.C., then by all means, you need to reach out to us and register to be part of our convoy, and you can go all the way to Washington with us. Beyond that, it's pretty simple. It's been amazing to watch people want to be a part of this, and it's so refreshing to me, because we put so much time and effort into this, and our leadership team is just amazing. They truly are. And I think in many ways for us, as this thing has progressed, there's been so many times we just get tired. We're not fixing to quit. We're not walking away. But it's so good to see people getting involved with this thing and saying, you know what, I believe in y'all, I support y'all and be a part of it. And so that's why it's so important for people to quit sitting on the couch and not do nothing, get involved. And you decide to what degree you're going to get involved, but by all means, get involved by way of donation, personal appearance, support goods, political help, even. Hell, we have a lot of people that, you know, I'm no dummy, but I'm not the smartest guy in the room necessarily, but we have people that are so smart when it comes to constitutional issues and things of that nature, that truthfully, if they were in Washington right now, we wouldn't be having some of these problems. So even those people, if you have something offered by right of political knowledge or perhaps political connections, that's tremendous. And I think as a whole, that's the best way I can explain what's needed or what we're trying to accomplish right now.
Well, look, I really, again, appreciate your time. I want to thank you personally for taking the initiative. Obviously, you have not done it alone. I don't know what room you're in where you're not the smartest guy, but look, I never feel like I'm the smartest guy in the room. So you know what? We're all in this together is the point.
We are.
And I am more than happy to offer what I have, which is, look, if you want to come on here, just let me know. I will gladly let you speak your own words, not try and sew you up into something and package you. Let you speak for yourself. Maybe a small outlet, a small show, not too many people know me, whatever. But my voice added to the sea of other voices. This is something we can do to counter that, to answer what's going to come up in the corporate media. So Kip, I'm glad to have met you today. Sorry.
Yes, sir. Well, I was just going to say,
I really appreciate what you're doing, and I thank you.
What's necessary. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I spoke over you. I thank you, though, sir. And go ahead.
Yeah. Well, effective communication of the truth is what matters here. The truth is out there. We all can see the problem. Everybody gripes about it, but few take action. And I would rather, my opinion of how I move in my own life, I'd rather have two people that were down to ride for the cause of righteousness and justice than I had 10,000 people just talking about it. Don't be one of the 10,000. Be one of the two and make two turn into 10,000. That's what's required right now. People don't realize, and this is a hard thing to have to say, but people don't realize you're about to lose your country. You're literally about to lose your country. You can go ask a Venezuelan. You could go ask someone from Iraq or somewhere and ask them, had they been given this opportunity we're given now, with the knowledge they now have, considering the plight that their life has become, would they have taken action? And without a shadow of a doubt, every single one of them would say, hell yes. And so right now is a hell yes moment. It's a get up off the couch moment. It's a, if you can't help with money, if you can't help by way of being there in person, there's something you can do. Call your legislators, get involved. And for each person, they have to decide to what degree they'll make that decision. But this is everybody's fight, and everyone must get involved professionally, courteously, with respect to the cause, and leave your egos and your own person at home. This is not about a person. No one person owns this convoy. This is about America. One mission, one goal, one focus. That's the country we love, and to effect change to save her. It can't be said any more plain than that.
There you have it. And once again, Frontline Truckers, that is the name of the organization that we see on, and there's a video right on the front page of AmericanTruckersFreedomFund.com. And as Kip said, get involved, because this indeed is your fight. If you are here in this place we used to call America, okay, not quite as advertised as it was to me when I was a kid, and maybe it's time we all get heard one way or another. So I'm all for this, and I definitely appreciate your time today, sir. And again, I just got to say thank you. You know, thank you for being motivated.
It's an honor to serve. And like I said, the biggest deciding factor of motivation for me is I refuse to sit by and watch the sacrifice of our military that gave us this gift called America be squandered by the same type of people they fought against overseas, the corruption and all that. And the only difference is now we package it up and we call it politics, and all the corruption and everything is okay by right of that. It's not okay. And it's our turn to go redress the grievances, stand up for what our veterans fought for, and fight back to get our country. So God bless.
Same to you, sir. Amen to all of your sentiment. I'm with you. And you know what? The Chuck Ocelli Show will return here on TNT Radio. Stick around.
When a crisis hits, close to home and across the globe, nonprofits are on the front lines, ready to serve.
Keep coming.
The demand for charitable services has skyrocketed, and nonprofits are rising to meet the needs. Healing, nurturing, rescuing, honoring, protecting, caring, inspiring. The work of philanthropic organizations of all sizes, across all missions, has never been more important. And it's donors and volunteers like you who make all this possible. Thank you. Together, we change the world. The Nonprofit Alliance.
The strength of our country hasn't just been won on the battlefield. It's won every day in our communities when we come together in our toughest times. For over 100 years, the American Legion has been strengthening communities across our nation by providing life-saving help and support to our veterans and neighbors during times like we're facing today. We are the American Legion, Veterans Strengthening America. To learn how you can help, visit legion.org.
My name is Latoy Adams. I served in the Army. Being with paralyzed veterans of America, they have showed me so much is possible.
I'm Sean Castle, served in the United States Army. I went from laying in a hospital bed dying to being a professional wheelchair basketball player. And it started with that one moment where there's life. I am unstoppable because Paralyzed Veterans of America is by my side.
We are unstoppable.
Learn more at pva.org.
Chuck Ocelli on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Sacred cows come here to be slaughtered, baby. That's all there is to it. So, you know, I really thought that we should just hear from the horse's mouth, so to speak, about the upcoming People's Convoy, and really glad that we got to do that. I would have kept him on longer if I could have, okay? But the man is busy. And we need to keep an eye on this. And again, the counter narrative, the counter myth needs to be filed. And guess how we're going to do that? By actually engaging with one another and keeping up on the real story as it unfolds. And that's the way it's going to go. So, and I don't mean this show. I don't mean me. I'm not important. I'm telling you that what we got to do is keep ahead of that well-produced, pre-packaged nonsense that's going to come from every end of the corporate media spectrum, okay? There is no doubt that they're going to twist this, that they're going to make it into, I mean, listen to the man. He's talking about following all the rules. Quite frankly, am I politically oriented just like him? No. No, I'm not. There are real differences between his view on some things and mine. However, let's talk about the commonality. Let's talk about the reality. Let's talk about the synchronicity, okay, in the equation. Let's talk about the fact that, yes, indeed, if you've been alive long enough, okay, you might have seen this country transform into something that, first of all, it was not supposed to be to begin with. And secondly, it is still going in the wrong direction. And we could take it from a lot of different angles. I mean, look at the news today and get ready for the state of the state, right? Because President Joe there is going to give his speech tonight. And you know he's going to have to focus on Ukraine. You know he's going to have to focus on his build back crap and all that. I mean, well, maybe not so much, because I don't know if that phrase is working for them. I don't know if the politics are working for them anymore. I don't know if people are buying the nonsense that anybody's going to build anything or anything's going to get better with the agenda as it stands, with the same bought and paid for politicians still at the control switches in the system. Now, I might have feelings about the whole of the system. And truthfully, I do. There is no better side of this equation. I can place blame on anything you want to bring up, on the magic R's, the magic D's, and the non-existing I's. I can tell you all about that. You know, the Republicans, the Democrats, and the blah, 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 blah. They're all in on one thing, which is making things worse. Okay? They're all in on one thing, which is not solving any of the problems, despite the fact that, as Kip said during that segment, they're supposed to be working for us. So, I don't feel as though Donald Trump is anything, because listen, there's a little contradiction there, even in what Kip was saying. He said that you know, clean hands make for dirty money. He doesn't trust people like that, but he thought Trump was doing a good thing. Anyway, we are still in this circumstance. Did anybody change anything during those 4 years, really? Kip seems to think so, but then again, other people have thought that Barack Obama, remember, hope and change. I mean, abandon all hope and beg for change, maybe. But I mean, he was supposed to be hope and change too. And, you know, look, you want to go back through the different administrations, the figureheads, and talk about who's supposed to be in charge. I got to tell you, I know for certain that these are not the people in charge. The names, you know, the people you want to complain about, quite frankly, the people that are supposed to be at the heads of the different corporate entities, which includes your governments, by the way, that, you know, have through the alleged legal practices, okay, which have nothing to do with what is lawful. And maybe we'll get into that in upcoming shows. Yeah, there's a lot to be done here. And I got to tell you, I also know I'm an outlier among outliers. So sometimes you're going to hear things on here that don't make you comfortable. I mean, that's the way this is going to go. Kind of like a combination between, let's go pop culture reference, ready? Kind of a combination between the Heath Ledger Joker in the Batman Rogue Gallery and the Jack Nicholson Joker, both of them together, because gotta say, I love that line when Jack said, when I was a kid and I saw that movie the first time, wait till they get a load of me. Yeah. And Heath Ledger's line when he's sitting there trying to talk to Harvey Dent, you know, in the movies I'm talking about, by the way. Heath Ledger's line when he talks to Harvey Dent and he hands him the gun and puts the gun to his head and says, you know what? Introduce a little anarchy into the equation. Because the thing about anarchy, it's fair. Gotta tell you, I might be a little more like that than some people are prepared to hear sometimes. And I'm awaiting your hate mail and all that. So don't worry. Don't send it to TNT. Good people at Today's News Talk. You don't need to bother them. You can email me directly. Just find me at my website and click on the email link. And, you know, I'm used to it. So send it to me. Send it to me. No problems. Anyway. As we move forward, though, and think about the state of the state, what is the state of the state? The state of the union, they say. But, I mean, let's be honest, it's the state of the state. The state of the control grid that is there, that is the political system, that is the thing that we were supposed to, again, in case people don't recognize this. I mean, the people in general are supposed to be the ones in charge. Do you, if you're in America, feel like you're in charge? I mean, I kind of have control over what goes on in my own home. But outside of that, do you feel like you're in charge of the circumstances that you're confronted with on a daily basis? Do you feel as though you've been served? If you do, I really want to get to know you, because I don't think you live on the same planet as me, and I'm all about exploration. And I don't think you live in the same country as me, or as Kip was saying, maybe you're not paying attention. He started paying attention at a certain point. And once you do that, you realize that not only is the system rigged, but it's not your system. Even the people that, the common trope, right? The stop the steal and all that. I'd love to agree with them. I really would. The problem is, how do they steal something from you that you never possessed? Your vote, your vow, your pledge that's supposed to count? Does it actually count when it comes to the momentum of the system? Well, that's a fairly good open question, isn't it? What can I say outside of what I've already said? A lot of things, and we're going to get to it. So in the next hour, I'm going to bring my friend Jeffrey Matt onto the show, and we're going to talk about what's happening in Canada. Maybe we'll talk about some other things. I mean, after all, I'd love to get into the clearly upcoming emerging social credit system. That is a reality that no matter what we do seems to be coming our way. So how are we going to confront that and deal with it? I'm not actually sure, and I'm not sure Jeffrey's sure, but maybe we'll get into that after we find out what he can observe from where he's sitting in Canada, because Canada and America are two different places, and they just experienced the trucker thing. So I want to find out what it was like afterwards for people that were not tied into it, what they observed directly, what they were being fed as a straight-up narrative from the establishment. I want to know all that. So I'm going to ask Jeffrey about it. And in the third hour, we'll be talking to Albert Lanier, who is a veteran journalist and lives in a decidedly different part of America. Because remember, we are not the homogenous group that some of the world thinks we are here. Albert is a veteran journalist on the island of Hawaii. So I'm going to try and wrap all these perspectives into it and see what both of them think about the trucker rally, but also, excuse me, not the trucker rally, but the People's Convoy. I want to see what they think about that. Also, Albert might want to make some comments about how he feels about the current situation in Ukraine. And as per usual, none of this will be pre-scripted in any way, shape, or form. We're going to get people's perspectives. We're going to go with them. We're going to examine them. We're going to break them down. And do our best to get at the observable truth. I don't care about people's agendas. I don't care about the sacred cows. I hope that you listening are with me on this. And if you're not, well, then you can get entertained and hate at me a little bit. And I'll be a little something different to hate because I'm not bought and paid for by anybody. You'll just have to get at the perspective you don't like seeing that I'm going to try and show you from everybody's point of view as best I can. So that's the way this is going to go today. It's only day number two on the Chuck Ocelli Show, but you might want to strap in because I don't even know what's going to happen. And neither do our good friends here at TNT Talk Radio, Today's News Talk. So let's go to the news and see what that is too.